You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 12th of April 2021, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, Black Lives Matter are in the news again. We've had another night of rioting and looting, breaking into stores, stealing all the merchandise, and once again, the reason that has been given for this is that a black criminal was shot dead by the police. Minneapolis erupted in looting and riots late Sunday after an officer fatally shot a man during a traffic stop just 10 miles from where Derek Chauvin had George Floyd pinned to the pavement last May. The Minnesota National Guard was activated to quell what devolved into violent demonstrations over the fatal officer-involved shooting of 20-year-old Deontay Wright earlier on Sunday in the city of Brooklyn Center, located in Hennepin County on the border of Minneapolis. A citywide curfew was issued by Brooklyn Center Mayor Mike Elliott until 6 a.m. Monday. About 500 people had gathered overnight outside of a police precinct in the city and clashed with officers. And there's lots of footage of this available online, and it's covered on RT on the television over here. In Britain, you can see the rioters jumping up and down on police cars, setting fire to things, smashing windows, all the usual sort of behaviour that we have come to expect when this sort of thing happens. And once again, the reason for this happening, it is exactly the same every single time. It is because the person the police are trying to arrest tries to resist arrest. And instead of reporting that, it gets reported in a completely different way. And this looks like it is really down to the deceased person's mother. Deontay Wright's mother said, "He said they pulled him over because he had air fresheners hanging from his rear view mirror." So instantly people think, he was doing nothing wrong. He just had air fresheners hanging from his rear view mirror and the police just pulled up and they shot him, just because they didn't like the colour black. She continued, or rather this report continues, "He called his mother as police pulled him over while he was driving the car that his family had given him 2 weeks earlier." And again, when you look into this, he was actually driving his mother's car, and he was concerned that he didn't actually have any insurance. So he called her up to say, what's the insurance? Have you got the insurance? And he obviously gave this fake excuse as to why the police had pulled him over, just because he had air fresheners hanging from his rearview mirror. Now, if you look at what the police report says, the police say he had an outstanding warrant out for his arrest. So that was why he was pulled over, because they had a warrant to arrest him. And then when they tried to arrest him, he dived back into the car, and so they shot him. And he then drove off with the police giving chase. Now, you may say, well, was that the right thing to do, to shoot the guy when he dived back into his car? But this is America. He could very well have had a pistol in the glove box. He could very well have had a weapon in the car and come straight back out of the car attacking the police. So the police shot him basically in self-defense, because that does happen. You quite often see videos where they jump back in the car, grab a weapon and shoot at the police. It's a very common thing to have a weapon in the glove box in America. So this is quite reasonable what happened here with the police trying to protect themselves. And it is always the same story in these instances. The person that ends up getting shot is always trying to resist arrest. Partially, this is down to the way that it gets reported. Black people look at the news and they get this message that whenever black people are stopped by the police, they have to be extra specially careful because the police are just looking for any reason to shoot them and kill them. And this makes them very nervous. And when the police say, put your hands on the steering wheel, they start freaking out and waving their hands around and gibbering and calling for their mother and all sorts of bizarre things I've seen happening on these videos. And it's quite clear that they are extremely stressed when they get pulled over by the police, because they have this fear that has been instilled in them by the mainstream media. And really, it's incitement to hate that the media are doing. They're inciting the black community to hate white people and to particularly hate the white police and to fear them as if they are just looking for black people to kill. And that is just not the truth. In actual fact, they try to avoid any interactions with blacks now. They try to avoid having to arrest them because they know that they're going to get accused of racism. They know that there is a high likelihood that the black criminal is likely to resist arrest. And they know that if he does resist arrest and they have to shoot him, that they're going to be accused of having done this out of hatred of the color of the skin. And there's going to be riots and looting and they're going to lose their job. And we can see right now with the trial of Derek Chauvin, the pressure that is on that court to find Derek Chauvin guilty when all he was doing was carrying out police procedure. It's obvious when you look at the video that George Floyd was overdosing on drugs. It was George Floyd that wouldn't get in the police car. He was resisting arrest. He wanted to lie down on the ground. There's even a video from him being arrested from a year previously where he does the same thing and he swallows drugs and he starts calling for his mother and going through the same routine that he was going through when Derek Chauvin arrested him. So he was not being killed by Derek Chauvin because he didn't like the color of his skin. He was just being restrained. He had one knee on his back, one knee on the side, on his neck, just so that he could push down if he tried to jump up and do anything. It was just a restraint. It's very unfortunate that the guy died. But the reason why is because he didn't just sit there in the car. He swallowed a load of drugs and then resisted arrest, wouldn't get in the car and wanted to lie down on the ground. This is what happens. They're always resisting arrest, and the press always portrays it that it was an innocent black guy doing nothing, minding his own business, and the police just picked on him for no reason and killed him. And that's the narrative that black people have. So they are understandably fearful when the police stop them. And they're likely to do the crazy things like this chap did, this Deontay Wright. I mean, in some cases, they can be so fearful that the police are going to shoot them that they will try to escape. They'll go and drive off with the police in hot pursuit and make themselves look guilty, basically, because they're running away from the police. And the people that are to blame for this are the journalists. I think they're very clearly to blame for this. And it regularly happens. Every few months, we get a new black martyr that the black community and the left-wing activist groups all decide to make the central reason for them rioting and looting. And it's now happening again at the same place, just within 10 miles from where it happened with George Floyd last year. And of course, Minneapolis has a very large black community there. And this is the sort of thing that you're going to see in multicultural cities where you have large black communities. They are going to be likely to riot when anything like this happens. And of course, it wouldn't be able to happen if we had monoracial communities. If we had monoracial communities, then black criminals could only be arrested by black police, and you would never hear of racist killings. But of course, that's far too sensible for our governments to think of doing, actually just separating the races, separating the communities so that there is no discrimination, because they don't want us to be united. They talk about diversity being a strength, but it's basically just division. And it's the oldest trick in the book. If you look back in history and you look at these great empires of history, look at the Assyrian Empire, for instance, what it would do when it took over a country is it would remove half the population and put them somewhere else in the empire, because they wanted to split up communities. And this is the same thing that is happening today. We have multiculturalism in order to prevent us getting together and uniting and changing the people that are in power for people in power that are going to represent us instead of representing themselves. Anyway, let's move on to another news story here. Perhaps this one in Minneapolis will continue. I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see. We'll move over to Britain for the next news story. University students will not be marked down for poor spelling, grammar, and punctuation in exams because it would be elitist. I'm very surprised they haven't actually just outright called it white supremacy to actually expect people to spell correctly and to use good grammar. It's something that I've noticed over the last 10 years, actually, that there are far more typos than there ever used to be. When you used to purchase a book or read a news article, it used to be absolutely perfect English, perfect grammar. Nowadays, if you look at news websites, particularly the Daily Mail, it's full of typos and mistakes. When I do these podcasts, I always have to cut out and paste the text first and check through it to make sure that I correct the spelling mistakes and the typos and the grammar so that it sounds correct when I read them out. And now they're actually going to allow people into university that don't have a grip of good grammar. They can't even write coherent sentences. And they think this is going to be a good idea because it would be racist not to. Oh, yes, they called it elitist, didn't they, rather than racist. But it's quite clear that's what they are referring to here. Academics have been told that insisting on good written English discriminates against ethnic minorities and those who went to underperforming schools. So what are they saying here? They're deliberately doing that. The academics are deliberately picking on the ethnic minorities because they can't spell, and they're not doing that to white people that can't spell. The reason why they have difficulties with spelling and grammar is because they have a lower average IQ. You're not going to be able to change that. You can't change the lower average IQ. That's a part of who they are. They are a different race. They have a different form, so they have a different function. What I mean by that is they look different to us, and they are different to us. They have a lower average IQ, which predicts that they're not going to be very good at English. So why would you expect them to be going to our universities? Why would you be trying to put somebody through university that it is not able to actually write a coherent sentence? By doing this, they just lower the standards, and it means that the people that do understand how to write coherent sentences, they're not going to be really properly challenged, are they? They're not going to be pushed to the very limits of their intellectual capabilities. They're just going to, not even be given a chance to excel, are they? All the resources are going to be put into trying to get people that really don't have much of a hope of getting the top marks and excelling, and all the resources are going to be put into them rather than the resources being put into the brightest people, because the brightest people will now be seen as elitist, because when you look at the group, obviously there is going to be a difference in race there, isn't there? Because all the people with a high IQ are going to be white. The Office for Students wants to reduce the gap between the proportion of white and black students gaining good degrees and cut dropout rates among poorer students. They're being quite open about the reason for doing this, and it's because black students are not academically as good as white students. Why can't they just admit that? Why do we have to go along with this pretense that everybody is equal, and why do we have to penalise white people so that we can try to make blacks more like whites? Why can't we just allow black people to be black people? Why can't we just encourage them to live among their own and express themselves in the way they want to express themselves, instead of trying to force them to conform to these white expectations, where we know that they're going to have difficulty in doing this. This is telling us that they have great difficulty in doing this, and they're just going to resent the fact that white people can do it and think that white people are only able to do it because they've been given a better education, or because the teachers have taught them better. The teachers have shown favoritism to the whites. That's why they're able to spell correctly and use grammar. It just breeds resentment, telling everybody that we're all equal when quite clearly we're not. In response, some universities have been adopting so-called inclusive assessments, a more flexible scheme first introduced to level the playing field for students with conditions such as dyslexia. So what are they saying here? That black people are the equivalent of dyslexic? They're all dyslexic, so we have to change the assessment and not have people knowing how to spell correctly? The whole point of these exams is that people are able to use good grammar and spelling and punctuation and are able to be understood and are able to follow instructions. This is the thing. You if you're going to be employing somebody, you want to know that they're able to obey instructions exactly how the instructions are. And if people are not able to spell correctly and come out with coherent sentences, quite clearly they're not able to follow the instructions. And yet if you're still going to pass them at the university, it means that people that are employing are going to be let down by the quality of the people they employ. The exams are going to have no meaning anymore. I mean, it may push people to saying, well, we just want to employ whites, really, because these exams don't mean anything anymore, and we know that the whites are capable of forming coherent sentences. At Hull University, a new policy says the requirement for a high level of proficiency in written English can be seen as homogeneous, North European, white, male, and elite. So what are they saying there? They are saying there is a difference between the races, and the white race appears to have a high level of proficiency in written English, whereas blacks only have a low level of proficiency in written English. And this comes after 70 years of programs of trying to improve black students' written English. It's obviously failed because they're not cut out for that. It's not natural to them. They never developed a system of writing among their own people. So why is it we would expect them to be able to take to reading and writing when they never developed that for themselves? It adds that students with English as a second language or educated at poorly performing schools can be discouraged if high standards of written English are required. Well, if English is their second language, what are they doing trying to study at English universities anyway? Would they not be better off going to a university that teaches in the language that they do actually speak? I mean, this is like when they say, well, when we study in these English universities, all we hear about is English people in history. Why don't we hear about black people in history? Well, if you went to a black university in a black country, perhaps you would hear about black people in university. And perhaps also, if you went to a black university in a black country, it might actually be teaching in your language, instead of teaching in the language which you don't speak very well. You would think that at the very least it would be a requirement for studying at an English university to have a good grasp of English, and you shouldn't be expecting the university to lower the standards just so that they could take in people that can't be bothered to learn English. It plans to encourage students to develop a more authentic academic voice that celebrates rather than obscures their particular background or characteristics. Well, can they really be saying this, that it is a more authentic academic voice to be speaking in pidgin English? When I think of authentic academics, I think of them speaking with quite an upper-class, educated accent. If you hear from somebody and they're just speaking in pidgin English, you're not going to think that they are an authentic academic, are you? And if you're reading what they've written and they can't spell and they've got bad grammar, again, you're not going to think that they are an authentic academic. You're going to think that they are a fraud and that standards have been lowered. At the University of the Arts, London, guidelines on marking written work say staff should actively accept spelling, grammar, or other language mistakes that do not significantly impede communication unless the brief states that formally accurate language is a requirement. And this is incredible. I mean, you are expected to be able to spell and use grammar by the time you leave junior school. At the very least, you should be able to read and write by the time you leave junior school. And now they're saying you shouldn't need to be able to read and write to actually get into university. And it's quite clear that our standards are dropping at a rate of knots here, dropping through the floor. And nobody is pointing this out, that if we do this, then everything's just going to get lower, isn't it? We're not going to have experts that are actually experts. We're not going to have geniuses and inventions and the sort of things that we've been used to over the last 100 years, because nobody's going to know how to do this anymore. Because to teach people how to do things like that would be elitist. It would be white supremacist. It's the sort of things that black people aren't capable of doing themselves. So it's just a race to the bottom. That's all equality is a race to the bottom. It warns academics to avoid imposing your own idea of correct English on student work. Well, this is the whole point. It's not somebody's own idea of what correct English is. It's somebody's own idea of what correct English is that they're being expected to accept now. Correct English is formal. It's documented. You look the words up in the dictionary. You look up how to use grammar. There is a set standard. That is what correct English is. It's not about people imposing their own idea of what it is. What they're saying here is, oh, it's just these English teachers' idea of what English is. That's not really English. Pidgin English is real English. What they speak in Nigeria, that's real English. And that's what they're implying here. Academics at Worcester University have also been told that if spelling, grammar, and punctuation are not central to the assessment criteria, it is fairer to judge students only on their ideas and knowledge of the subject. But isn't it about how you communicate those ideas? And if you're not capable of communicating it in English, how are people supposed to understand what you are saying? If the only way you can explain this is in badly spelled pidgin English, then how is an employer going to be able to understand what the person has written? The move comes as universities come under increasing pressure to boost the progress of ethnic minority, disabled and disadvantaged students, as well as decolonize courses. But critics have rounded on the erosion of standards. See, this is it. They want ethnic minorities to progress within an education system which is not something that is a part of their natural being. They never had an education system developed by their people. And when we put them in the middle of one, we shouldn't be surprised to see that they don't succeed very well. You do get some that succeed. I'm not saying they all aren't going to be any good at this, but the majority of them are not going to do very well at university. And the way to deal with that is just to say to them, well, you have a lower average IQ. You are different to us. Why would you expect to be exactly the same as us? White people don't expect to be exactly the same as black people. Why do black people expect to be exactly the same as whites? It's because we have fed them these lies in the mainstream media mainly, and our government go along with them, and the television go along with them, of course. Inclusive assessment makes me want to weep, said Professor Anne Smithers, an education expert at Buckingham University. Exams are there to discriminate between those who can and those who cannot including being able to say clearly what you mean. This approach won't do the students any favours in getting and keeping a job. Again, this is the point. It means that employers will just end up saying, well, we're just going to have to employ people racially. We're just going to literally have to say, we just pick the white applicants. Because if you pick the black applicants that have the qualifications and the degrees, they're not going to be able to form coherent sentences. They're not actually going to be up to the standards that you expect. And if you have a white employee, at least he will be able to, even though he has the same qualifications, he will be able to use correct grammar and get the point across. I mean, this is going to backfire on them. It can only backfire on them. And unless they work really hard at keeping all the white people stupid, which I just don't think is possible. If you're white and you are good at something and you are the sort of person that can go to university, then you are keen to learn and you're keen to do your best. And people are just going to be marked down on that. But employers are going to know the difference. They really are. At least at the moment, in most cases, if they do employ somebody black who has a degree, they know that they are going to be up to the standards that they expect. But once they bring this in, then these degrees are just going to be meaningless. Gaps will only be truly narrowed by supporting students more and teaching them to write well, rather than ignoring mistakes. Again, this is the point. When you've got people that have a much lower average IQ, you can teach them as many hours as you've got in the day, and they're still never going to be able to write as well as somebody who has a much higher IQ. Professor Frank Faridi of Kent University added, "Inclusive assessment is an instrument of social engineering that violates the norms of academic education. Lowering standards of assessment lowers expectation of what students should achieve. Worse, normalization of illiteracy flatters instead of educates students." This is what it is. Students need to be challenged. They want to be set the hardest challenge that there is, and then they want to have a qualification at the end of that that says that they achieved this. They achieved this incredibly difficult thing. They worked exceptionally hard and they achieved perfection and they got the qualification. If you're going to say to them, well, we're just going to actually lower it and make it much easier for you to do, and we're still going to call it the same. It's like somebody walking up to the top of the hill and then claiming that they've managed to climb Mount Everest. It's ridiculous that they would do this, but I guess it's just a logical progression of continuing with this lie that everybody is all equal. Hull University said the new rules would be implemented in courses only where no external body insists on good written English. Well, that means pretty much all subjects, doesn't it? I don't think there are any external bodies. This is the university that are saying this. However, it declined to say which subjects would be affected or even whether the relaxed marking would apply to those studying English. I bet it does apply to those studying English. And a spokesman for the University of the Arts London said the guidelines depended on the subject and should be seen within the context of blended learning and our ongoing work to narrow and close awarding gaps. And that's exactly it, isn't it? They want to close this gap between those that can achieve and those that can't achieve. And the way of doing that is to pretend that those that can't achieve are the same as those that do achieve, with all the resulting damage to society that it causes. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.